A Palm Sunday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 27, 1988, in the series The Servant of the Lord, entitled Crisis. The scripture readings are Isaiah 53, verses 6 through 12, and Luke 19, verses 28 through 44. The text for the sermon is Luke 19, verses 42 and 44. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
It is our natural response to seek to avoid crisis. We'll do almost anything in order to keep from rocking the boat, disturbing the rhythm of life. We do not like crises. Crises are fearful things. The connotation of crisis brings fear in our hearts, anxiety to our minds, and conjures up all sorts of painful images. The emergency room at the hospital, the ICU unit, where the family paces in silence, wondering about the outcome of momentous events. National crisis, international disruption, economic crisis, political crisis, relational crisis, family breakup. Crises are avoided like the plague. We want to live securely. We try to avoid that which is disruptive. We seek to stay with the tested, the tried, and the true. Crises are things to be avoided, no matter in what form they come. And yet, crisis, in its actual meaning, is neither negative nor positive. Crisis, the English word, is derived from the Greek word that sounds just like it. And its meaning is the moment of decision. We sometimes speak of a disease progressing to a point of crisis, and really we know that from that point of crisis, that turning point, it could well be life, healing, or death. The crisis itself is simply that moment, that pivotal moment, that hinge moment on which so much swings. The crisis is not something to fear. The crisis is as filled with opportunity as it is with danger. I haven't got the documentation for this, but I remember reading one time, with apologies to Hung and Elsie, about the Chinese language that doesn't have simple ABCs, but has characters. And I read that the character for danger is the same character for opportunity. And Hung and Elsie, if it isn't true, just don't say anything. I don't want to ruin the story. The point is that the crisis is the moment at which the course of events can turn either way. This day was no crisis for Jesus. The crisis for Jesus had been met long since. Jesus had determined who he was to be what he was to do. Jesus had struggled in the wilderness with the evil one, putting behind him worldly wisdom and worldly methods and worldly goals. He found his model not in Elijah, as John the Baptist had hoped. Elijah, who would call down fire from heaven. He found his model not in Elijah, as John the Baptist had hoped, bringing finally the historical scene to its end with awful condemnation. He found his model in the servant of the Lord in Isaiah. He found his model preeminently in those words that were read a moment ago, the suffering servant who goes his way without opening his mouth to inevitable death, not for his sin, but bearing the transgressions of many. Jesus settled the issue at the onset of his ministry. His crisis had occurred earlier, and from that moment on, it was as one of those servant songs in Isaiah said, he set his face resolutely. He understood his mission to bring salvation to earth's farthest bounds, and he set his face resolutely. And as Luke tells the story of Jesus in this gospel of his that goes by his name, in the second message of the series, we looked at chapter 9 and verse 51, and the same as the time approached when he was to be taken up to heaven, he set his face resolutely toward Jerusalem. And if you would read through the Gospel of Luke, you would find that in the 13th chapter, and again in the 17th chapter, and again in the 18th chapter, and now in the 19th chapter, the framework on which Luke tells the story of Jesus is the journey to Jerusalem. Once he set his face resolutely to Jerusalem, he did not deter to the right hand nor to the left. He had faced his crisis, and he filled it with opportunity because he trusted God and acted on his trust. No, this was not a crisis for Jesus, but it was, well, a crisis for Jerusalem. This was the moment of God's visitation to that holy city, so filled with all of the past associations of the demonstrations of God's grace, and now the supreme visitation in Jesus Christ. This was the moment. And as the crowds hailed him and sang their hosannas, Jesus, coming over the crest of Olivet, caught sight of the city, and he wept, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if only you knew on this great day the things that make for peace. But no, they are hidden from your eyes." And then at the end of the paragraph, "For you have missed God's moment." Crisis is the point of opportunity. It is freighted with danger as well. But the danger is the failure to open one's life to the movement of God in the moment of opportunity. Luke tells his story of Palm Sunday very carefully because he presents Jesus coming to Jerusalem as the King of Peace. The angels sang at his birth, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." And now the crowds, the disciples, likewise join in acclaiming him the King of Peace, saying, "Blessed, peace in heaven and in the highest." Because Luke knows, as Jesus knew, that the peace in heaven, the glory in the highest, is not yet to be the experience of earth. For Jesus has entered the city and this final visitation, knowing the inevitability of his death, knowing he will be rejected. For Jesus, who had faced his own crisis and in trust fully followed the will of God, he precipitates the crisis of Jerusalem and laments the reception his visitation will receive. You have missed God's moment. So reads the New English Translation. The original says, you have missed the time of God's visitation. And the word time is again carefully chosen. Greek has two words for time. There is ordinary time, the succession of events, of days, of weeks, of months, of years. Chronology comes from chronos, just the unfolding of time, every moment like the next and the one that preceded. But that's not the word Luke chooses. You missed the time, you missed the kairos of God's visitation. Kairos is time defined by its content. Meal time. The time of a significant appointment. A time of a moment freighted with eternity. This was the crisis of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, in your crisis, you miss the time, the kairos of God's visitation. And he wept. He went on to experience the inevitable death. But in giving his life to death, found resurrection. Jerusalem, with all of its entrenched and established powers of state and church, sought to preserve its life by taking his, but found not life and peace, but terrible destruction when eventually the Roman troops marched in to wreak havoc on that people and to devastate the city. That's the paradox. It is spoken of in many ways in the gospel, but there is always that moment to decide. That is crisis. And the crisis is filled with danger should we miss God's visitation, but resplendent with opportunity should we find and respond to the vision he offers. Jesus coming in peace, offering peace to those that will follow in his way. And this is still a day of grace. Chronos continues. Days and weeks and months and years and decades and centuries, and still God keeps the drama unfolding, and still the offer of his grace is given to us. And nations come to points of crisis, particular kairoi, when God waits to see the response. Reflecting on this message, I could not help but think of the Middle East today, where Israeli and Palestinian are locked in that ongoing conflict filled with tragedy. A people whose suffering will not allow them to give up. A government whose line will not be compromised. and the inevitable sorrow, the weeping and the wailing of those who mourn the death of the victims day in and day out. It is crisis time in South Africa, where a strongly entrenched regime fortifies itself against the masses who have no voice nor power. Northern Ireland, Protestant and Catholic, locked in ages-long feud. Central America, Contra, Sandinista. Throughout the world, wherever you spin the globe, the United States of America, great in power, great in resource, at the crisis point, as God waits to see how power and wealth will be used in a world that is desperate and dying. Did you happen to see the film on ABC last Monday night, God Bless the Child? Did you feel in your depths somehow the terrible suffering that is the lot of so many in a world where technology and resource would say that that does not have to be? And those of us who hold power and resource will stand before the judge of all the earth to give account for where we were in terms of those who needed our love and care. Christ community, a well-blessed community, rich in resource and gift and grace. At the crisis point again, will we respond and follow Jesus? Will we offer what we are and what we have to be the instrumentality for grace to find its way for the healing of persons and the bringing of those who are lost and afraid and guilty to the joy of salvation? Palm Sunday 1988. In a large congregation as this, gathered here, gathered in the first hour, how many stories could be told? Who knows where there is one here or one there, perhaps you, at the crisis, the moment to decide, Jesus. Jesus offers grace, peace, and healing for those who will trust Him. Crises would not be so difficult if we could only be sure of the future, if we only knew beyond the veil. Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The inevitability of His death must have loomed large. But beyond that, He knew nothing except that God had called Him and He trusted His Father in life and in death. The consequence we'll celebrate in the brightness of Easter Sunday. And the grace continues to flow because the servant of the Lord had faced his crisis and made himself fully available to do the will of God. He offers you that grace, that healing, that new life. Say it today. Sing it as for the first time. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.